Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday. The shout even shy. Where you can I stay? Song I wrote.
I woke up from a memory, still lying here next to you, watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew, your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true, your touch is golden dear.
Shout Even Shy singing A Word You Cannot Say, a song that I wrote. Thank you, Shout. Welcome back, my friend, to the show where I pretend to be somebody I am not. It's a Hatterday Saturday. I'm Jay Hatter, your host. With me is AP Taylor from Australia. AP, how are you?
Hey, good, thanks, Hatter. How are you?
It could be better. Today is the self-medicated show of shows for a variety of reasons. Both AP Taylor and I are on pain meds, some expected, some not.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how this goes. Towards the end of the day, I'm feeling fine. Medicated myself. Thanks to the Rite Aid Pharmacy and the friend down the road, I'm good.
There you go. I say hello to the Hepworth Hospital and all the emergency physicians there, so thank you all.
Yeah, there you go. There's things not expected. But today was the running of the Kentucky Derby, and what a race. 8 different horses in a field of a mini. I don't know how many started.
Yes.
But a horse with the odds of 80-1 won a quite spectacular way, too. If you haven't seen it, grab it on YouTube and watch the Kentucky Derby. 80-1. They didn't even mention this horse.
That's pretty impressive numbers, Hannah. I have to say too, before we do anything else, that it is Mother's Day here in Australia and New Zealand. So happy Mother's Day to my mum, of course, and to all the mothers out there. And a special hello to Alicia, who is listening in for the first time, I believe. So we're getting more and more listeners, Hannah.
All right. Yeah, and Mother's Day tomorrow. Happy here. So speaking of today I looked up what day is. They have a national calendar of what day you celebrate different things. Today was quite impressive.
Yes, there is.
Today was quite impressive.
Yes.
How many?
Yeah.
Check this out. It was national. National Start Seeing Monarchs Day. It's also Scrapbook Day.
Yes.
It was Barrier Awareness Day, whatever that is. Packaging Design Day. It's National Pastement Day. National Roast Leg of Lamb Day. Get your mutton here. National Babysitter Day. Got a babysitter? Go hug her. National Homebrew.
Well,
National Homebrew Day.
Well,
and
we can also make it, Hannah. We can also make it a happy Stephen 76 Day. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Stephen 76. Let me finish this list. I'm almost done. It's National Fitness Day. It was the Kentucky Derby Run. It was Join Hands Day. Free Comic Book Day. Bombshell Day. National Bombshell Day. Also National Train Day and Play Outside Day. Wow.
There you go.
That's a lot.
Do any
that's
of those feel to you, Stephen? Old Hands Day. That's quite fun.
Yeah. Interesting. How are you doing, Steven?
Doing good. Just waiting here. In another 53 minutes, it'll be Mother's Day here.
All right.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's right.
Well, I hope you've got yourself sorted, Steven. With stuff.
Yeah. It's still light.
I do.
Always time to go down the chemist or last minute thrift store stuff. You know, 52 minutes, lots of time.
Yeah, we're missing Deborah Lee today. She's got errands to run or a family pickup day.
Yes.
She's storming out. She'll be driving in at night in the wind and rain. I guess it's bad out there. That's what she was saying. So good luck, Deborah.
I think the weather's pretty awful too.
Call us when you get back.
Yep. So anyway, there you go.
Yeah, she's right there on the. Will we get
Stephen on the line? Given that I think you've just come from another program, Stephen. So you're probably a bit tired of hanging around radios for a little bit.
No, that, and I've worked a very long day today too. Yes, I'm ready to close my eyes.
There you go.
All right. Are you going to post?
I've posted it up there, Hannah. I've posted that up.
Well, we're sort of a Stephen, you can post it. Gotcha.
No, we've done it. We've got it. It's up there.
Oh, it's there.
Sensational gif on it.
Is that it?
Yes, okay.
It's stational. It's a lovely lightning.
Yeah, I actually, with the theme of clocks, this is one that I wrote. We did the movie Peggy Sue Got Married in our
yes.
row a week or so ago. So, and that's basically about time travel. So I figured that this would fit.
Yeah, good. Got it.
And I called this You can't change the past without changing the present. You don't see it? I think it scrolled up a little.
You got it? Just scroll up. It's about four up.
That's the show.
I just reposted it.
You posted the show.
No, but I just reposted the phone. I posted the show for Frank.
He reposted it as well.
Okay. Refreshing again. Sure. There it is. Got it.
All right. I call this, you can't change the past without changing the present. Of helium-filled foil balloons scraping across drop ceilings, Queen's Crown fainting spell, turning epochs counterclockwise. Avoiding red candies and Etzels, 45 rotations per minute vinyl, stuttering out who got married with ageless screen jockey of ball drops. Pennyworth's paradox, predestined poets single eventide to grandparents of Dr. Brown. Lightning flashes reflect off bay window. Future footsteps upon burial soil, tottering spine to tailbone, pulled to lodge seance and greenhouse lockets, knowing chosen path was Parsi and poem.
Parsi, Stephen. Parsi. Very intriguing.
Yeah.
Very intriguing.
I got a question. Wow, look at that. Look at that lightning. Being right there by one of the Great Lakes, you're not far from it, are you, where you're at?
No, I'm about 10 to 15
minutes. Oh, okay, so you're used to some nasty-ass weather, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I spent 2 weeks at the very tip of Lake Ontario, the first trip back east, and the weather changed in 15 minutes. It was almost snowing, and we were out there walking a brewery, I think it was, on the Tennessee River, and the weather changed within 15 minutes. It was sunshine, short sleeve shirts, to cold ass rain and rain and snow. It was wow. My host said, "No, that's the way it is. That's what happens here."
Yep.
So, you gotta leave prepared. Take your coat. When Peggy Sue got married, I never saw that.
It's a good movie.
Who's in it?
Kathleen Turner, Nicolas Cage, Jim Carrey.
Nick Cage, okay. Jim Carrey, okay. Nick Cage.
So, Stephen, I've got a question. Tell me how you used the word passé there. Tell me what your meaning was of passé there in the final word.
If you Google Parsi, or it could be pronounced actually Parkai. It either means fate, or it could mean one, two goddesses who control people's destinies. So it's basically destiny.
Okay.
Somebody made you do it?
Somebody made me do it.
That's really funky. I've never seen that word used before, and I was Googling it, and I did get the three fates, and I did get the sort of destiny, but I wasn't sure, because there was there's also a Urban Dictionary passé, and I wasn't sure if it was the Urban Dictionary one or the real one. You said.
Ah, okay.
What's that definition?
The Urban Dictionary definition. The Urban Dictionary definition is where the you actually use it because a person doesn't know very many words. and is trying to be clever with words, and they don't know very many. So that's the urban dictionary meaning, and that's why I was asking.
Is that right? Now, urban dictionary, that's what somebody, anybody can put the definition in there, correct?
Yes,
or slang,
yes,
street slang. Street slang.
Yeah, street slang. Yep. So I just always ask, Catter. If I don't know, I always ask. So there you go. Now, Stephen, before we let you sleep, you know, curl up to sleep, did you want to talk about any of your upcoming shows the next little period?
Sure, thank you. Our next show, Aquatic Slice of Life, is the Mortuary of Shadows on Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and we're trying something new where we're going to go with different members of the group, or we're starting off with the administrators of the group, local dark legends. So we're going with Ohio dark legends for me and Kay to start it off, and we have one called the Melonheads, one called the Loveland Frogmen, one called the Minerva Monster, and one of the more well-known one is the Lake Erie Monster. Those are all in the topic folder with some information about each of them to write about. Should be fun.
Lake Erie Monster, is that a Packer fan? Is that superior?
Actually, now it's a hockey player, but you know, the Lake Erie Monster is kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, really, right here in Lake Erie.
Where's a hockey mask, I guess. I'm sorry.
Oh, we have a minor league hockey team named the Lake Erie Monsters here, so in Cleveland.
There you go. And so this is back to you're going to do a sort of series of these.
Yep.
Stephen. So you're going to do sort of state by state, yeah?
Yeah. Or country.
Cool. Okay, I'm impressed. Because there's going to be all sorts of things all around. So, sounds really good. Okie doke. Well, we loved having you on, but I'm assuming that you all disappear off and grab some sleep. So, it's been wonderful having you on the show, Seth.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dean.
Okie doke.
Have a good night.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Tell the wind hi. I couldn't take it. I had to walk over and get the donuts, AP.
That's bad news, Hatter. They were calling you, obviously. They were screaming at
you.
They were. What flavor are they? So for those of us who don't have any in front of us?
These are actually the Entenmann's glazed buttermilk.
Ooh, that sounds sort of special-ish.
They're good.
And how many were there? Not saying how many there are now, but how many were there to start with?
Eight.
Eight. So I'm assuming that's a good 4 days' worth, Hatter, of donuts or not?
Maybe not. Two of them are good in one sitting.
Yeah, okay.
I got four of them sitting in front of me.
Okay. You're going to be jumping up and down by the end of the show then. You're going to be sort of, you know, super hyped. Did you want to do your poem now, Hatter, for this week, or did you want me to put mine on the board?
Well, I'll go first.
Good idea.
And I put it up there.
Let's do that.
It's called Stay in School.
Yes, school right there with me, one tick. No, clocks is the prompt, Adam. Clocks is the prompt. We did school last week, but that's okay. You can do school. That's okay. We'll make an exemption. You're a host. You can do anything you like.
What did I do wrong?
Well, it's clocks this week.
It's what?
Clocks. It's your theme. Clocks.
Oh.
Seriously.
Well, I've screwed up.
But you can
screwed up.
Well, that's okay. As I said, hosts, you know, we're allowed to screw up, and so you're allowed to do whichever one you like.
Well, this is one. This is the part we've postponed for 2 weeks, isn't it?
I know that's right, Hedda. But technically, it's clocks, and that's why Stephen did a poem about time, if you notice, not about school.
Clocks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Promise.
That's a good one. I'd like to write that.
I'm serious. If you look at the title page, there's clocks.
Okay.
No, it's good. You can this one
was written to the prompt school or so. We postponed.
Yes.
Had to postpone a couple of times. So
yep,
it's, called Stay in School. It goes like this. I should have known better in my golden days there would be something called the end. They tried to make me grow up one day, so I learned how to pretend. When tests were due, I had no clue. My grades began to hurt. Black lights and lava lamps, anything with a skirt. My days like spades dug my early grave. I died 100 times in 1,000 different ways. My gold turned to silver, then it turned to go. And nobody told me how was I to know? If lessons learned, it was what I earned to live my life as a fool. So hear my voice. You have a choice. Kids, stay in school. Deborah would like
pretty
that
simple.
One.
See, she would. It's
kids
a pretty simple,
school.
Straightforward message. You know, when in doubt, stay in school.
I have an asterisk on this one, being that
this story is about a fiction.
I did fine in school.
Well,
it was easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Hatter, because I did fine in school too, by the way. I got into university, and then from university I kept studying. Yeah, but it is interesting because there's certain people I know where the high point of their life was school. And they went down downhill from there. It's really quite interesting. I'm not sure why that's the case, but I know people like that. I don't know if you do, Hatter.
Well, I would be one of those. I was happily married for a long time. I had a great job. Life was good.
Mm.
I was happy.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But my golden years was when I was playing sports in school.
Really?
And I got to be the, you know, oh yeah. Yeah, from
because you were on the football team, weren't you? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Football
you're
track,
on the football team. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Played football
in
the fall.
And that's a big thing. Football's a big thing in the US. Everywhere. It's a big thing. It's you know, you have the most credibility if you're on the football team there of anything, because it's seen to be the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were taught, this is what the NFL, the football is going through now, is the use of the helmet to tackle somebody, where you can apply that. And we were taught that helmet is a weapon, use it.
Yeah,
so
right.
So we did.
Bash somebody with it. Yep, absolutely.
So it was
yep.
Yeah, so it was it's a collision sport.
Yes.
You know, basketball's a contact sport. Football's a collision sport. And
yes,
it was. I mean, it was. I was injured a couple times.
Yes.
21 stitches in my chin and broken jaw.
Oh my God, that's decent.
Yeah, I got run over by an offensive tackle one time. He decided to tear my helmet off and put 21 stitches and break my jaw.
Wow, that's decent.
He was big. He was a big dude, man. But
wow. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I think that's
what I would call golden. It's like now I had brothers and sisters who would say they didn't like the school days. They weren't.
Yeah.
My sister was valedictorian. My younger brother was also.
But they still didn't like it.
They were not athletes. So they knew nothing of my world.
Yes.
And,
well, look, I think they were days of yore, Hatter. I mean, in the sense that these days, you know, the NFL and everybody else gets very sensitive about injuries to the head and what people do to helmets and how athletes
are. And I'll tell you what, playing, it was common to play with a concussion. Common, all the time.
Yes. So, we had the same thing in football here and in cricket, whereas now we have like 10-day periods where people are automatically excluded.
Yeah, because the biggest injuries, are I'm sure, from you playing with a concussion, you get smacked in the head again. Your head's rattling around inside your brain.
Yeah.
And does damage.
You're sensitive to it anyway. And then you just double up and triple up the damage. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I as I said, I think, you know, for obviously for yourself, it was a big deal being on the football team and that being part of school was a big deal. Whereas for me, you know, I was sort of okay sporty, but I wasn't great sporty. Does that make sense? I was okay. And sport is a big part of school, and I was okay at it, but not in the clever sort of, you know, sports. So,
the best thing about being captain of the football and homecoming is I married one of the princesses.
There you go.
my high school sweetheart. Yeah,
well, that works. Whereas, you know, I had none of that. You know, I wasn't in the in crowd, Hatter. You were obviously in the in crowd. That's an in crowd thing, yeah. No. So I think my days sort of got better as I got older, I reckon, all things being equal.
Sure.
So, you know.
Well, I was in that bad accident when I was 19, first year out of high school. Going to college.
Yeah, right.
And that ended any sport. That ended any football dreams I had.
Yes.
But I played high level softball.
Whereas I only stopped playing sport about 5 years ago. I went back when the kids got older and played cricket in particular for about 6-7 years, and I really enjoyed it. I wasn't as good at it, but I was slower and it took me longer to do stuff, but I really enjoyed it. So
we created a softball. We played softball for 13 years.
Oh, well, there you go.
Same type of stuff.
I was going to say, One of the things for me was that I actually went across and played cricket about 7 years ago in England, and I'd done a number of trips to England, but the one trip that I did the earliest was when I went over. To look at what my dad had done, because I actually got to go to England and go back there before. Well, my father actually never returned to England. He was born in England, never returned there, and so I went back to his part of the world and had a look at you know where he was born, where his mother had a shop. And you know where he sort of traipsed around, and that was in near Salisbury. So Salisbury's in the south of UK, not far away from where all the ships went out, really. And he was from Salisbury. Well, he was from Fordingbridge. Let's be accurate about this, which is about 15 miles. South of Salisbury, so he used to live in Fordingbridge. And then he would go up to Salisbury because his His grandmother had an antique shop near Salisbury, and because he used to sing in the choir of Salisbury Cathedral. And so when I went over to England about 30-odd years ago, I went and had a look at that part of the world, and I went to Salisbury Cathedral specifically and had a look at the cathedral and, you know, saw, because it's a structure that's been there since the 14, 1300s. And,
yeah, so you walked your dad's footsteps. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I didn't realise, though, was that one of the oldest clocks that's been continuing to work in the world since the 1300s was actually in Salisbury Cathedral, but at the tower I didn't go to. So I could have gone and looked at the oldest clock in the world, but I didn't realise it was there. And so I missed it by 200 metres, Hatter. So
is that a tower clock?
Yeah, it is. I visited Salisbury Cathedral, but I never actually visited this clock. So anyway, this is a poem, a short one, about...
Isn't that where Stonehenge is?
It is very close to Stonehenge. I'll get to that one tick, actually. It's very close to Stonehenge, so bear with me. This is in Salisbury.
Okay.
And it goes a little bit like this. Can you see it on the board, by the way, before I start up?
I'm running down the hall as we speak.
Okay.
I got it. Yep, Salisbury.
You got it?
Yep.
Beautiful. Okay. Yep. This is a poem called In Salisbury, and it's about that clock that I didn't see, and it goes a bit like this. Slowly sways the pendulum. It falls to the resonant base. In wood and metal sun, often a cat and moon chase. The earliest clock's mechanical with two metal gears at play. Verge folio no sabbatical at Salisbury Cathedral today. Clocks today, subatomic, use lasers balanced in array. Atoms vibrate supersonic, just like as with metal way. End pop.
Now I'm looking at that thing.
Yeah.
That's a clock, a timekeeper.
And it's mechanical.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's basically on cogs. And there's one set of cogs turning perpendicular to the other set of cogs. And if it's done accurately enough, it carries time very well. And that's been running in Salisbury Cathedral since the 1300s. It was restored in 1976. And as I said, one of the oldest operating clocks in the world. Which, of course, I didn't see. And actually had no idea it was there until I was doing research for the show today. Had absolutely no idea that I'd missed it 35 years. Yeah, seriously. It was not until I started doing some research for the show that I realized that I'd missed this thing that happened to be there.
That's actually in the cathedral, right?
Yes. Yes.
So what did they do when they wanted to get the wrong part? So if they wanted to know what time it was, they had to run into the cathedral. They wanted to know what time it was. It's not something you can carry with you.
No, I really don't know, actually, Hatter. I don't. But I guess it was for the purpose of
commerce or something.
Yeah, well, something. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of strange. But anyway, so yes. Now and I have to say about Stonehenge. Yeah? Because when I went to Stonehenge, which is, as you correctly say, is just down the road from Salisbury.
Stonehenge?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Stonehenge. That I was a bit disappointed. Yeah? I was a bit disappointed. And the reason for that was because you sort of, you know, Stonehenge sort of has this sort of mysticism. Yeah? And so you sort of think that it's going to be out the back of some really dark, quiet forest somewhere. You know, that's what was in my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'd go to Stonehenge, and that, you know, I would find this sort of mystic place. Yeah.
Could you feel it?
Well, no, because if you look at the board now of the photo I just placed up, when I went to Stonehenge, the A30 freeway was right next to it. And so all I could hear were trucks and cars. And it wasn't very quiet. Seriously. Yeah? Like, because they were really close. You know, there was this major sort of arterial road, and it was like 100 metres away from where Stonehenge was. And so you go and have a look at Stonehenge, and all you get is trucks and cars. Yeah?
Definitely now, looks like a road you can't pull over on. Yeah.
No. It's a highway. Now, I understand that since then, since I've been and visited, they've actually got a road tunnel. The road actually disappears about 200-300 metres before Stonehenge and appears up the other side. Yeah?
What a novel idea.
Because everybody sort of had the same experience as me, I guess, as they went to Stonehenge and said, well, that's not terribly mystical. All I can hear is truck horns, you know, because that's the way it was. So I was very underwhelmed by Stonehenge when I... Sorry?
They want you to buy a ticket. They want you to buy a ticket.
Well, I guess, but it was kind of strange, Hatter, I have to admit. You know,
I was
underwhelmed. Now, we have somebody on the line. Hold on, I've missed that. Hello, 720. Sorry, I was talking about something.
I'm all right.
Hello,
with
Sleepy.
That.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting anybody to call, and I was on Stonehenge, you know, and it just got me going. Anyway, there you go.
I wholeheartedly love you, Melissa. Good. My voice is a little off.
Sorry. Your voice is a little rough. You're right. You've probably been talking to that nasty pooch of yours who's been doing silly things, and you've just lost your voice from yelling at
you. I was talking about 10,000 people today. I was emceeing a dog event today, raising money for the Dog Friends League. So I was at a major event today. We were performing, and I was emceeing. So we did very
there you go.
Yes.
Well done, you. No wonder your voice is
Thank
rough,
you.
If that's the case. If you've been on a microphone for hours now.
I have been.
What? Hey, sweet, whatever happened to the recital in Washington, D.C., or the thing in Congress?
We got snowed out. We got, D.C. had like 9.5 inches of snow and everything was closed.
Yes.
So is it postponed or is it?
It got closed. I have to go back next year.
So it's really big.
Wow.
It's a yearly thing.
Well,
I hope to get invited back next year.
I hope you do.
What is it you're supposed to do?
It's you submit your work and hopefully you get invited and you get to go to an open poetry reading. I'm sure there's more
than
one a year. I just happened to go to that particular one at that time because it happens to be Chuck's birthday, so we entered that contest at that point, or that group in that year at that time, so I can go for over.
Well, there you go.
Did you win?
We just got in there. Selection, kind of like a drawing.
She got invited, so she did win. Now, I have to stop, Hatter. I have to stop you there for a tick because I should say, we, as a team of voices, are sponsoring the Great Winter Paint Out Competition with the Mark Andrews Terry. And Deb is one of the judges. Our missing Deb today is one of the judges of that contest. And I have to say, Sweet did a wonderful job with her poem, which I think you got in with about 60 seconds to spare, Sweet. You know, maybe 45.
Maybe 45.
And
AP
yeah,
has a fabulous fun. Poem. Absolutely wonderful.
Thanks.
I might add.
So we did our part. We did our best, Hatter. We did our best to fly the flag collectively for a team of voices. So we shall see how we go. There's a few less entries this year, which is a bit disappointing. It's only about 90-odd, Sweet. And usually there's about double that. So we'll just see how we go. Yeah. 50, 180 this year, about 90. Mark Andrew De Terry is going to host a show about all of those poems when all of the judging is done, which I think takes another couple of weeks from memory, because they do take it very seriously and read the poems very closely, and
they
take us very seriously and you know, with good meaning and good reason, but they do take the task
absolutely
very seriously. And there's a lot of points on offer. I think we as a group put out 160,000 points or something like that. So it's one of the bigger competitions on the site every year. So we shall see how
we go. Did you get an entry then, AP?
Yeah. Sweet said. I've got a little ditty about swans.
Very nice.
And thank you. And Sweet has got a quite beautiful story about a pickup truck and sunflowers and the life of somebody within that truck, and it's quite beautiful.
I got the same one in the same one I got in last year, called Reserved. I screwed up. But I didn't get
and
it.
You
in.
Missed
fabulous.
It.
Well, I heard it's a microgravity patter. It's got one word in it.
You know, when
I
probably
you,
makes
though,
it
I
hard
I got
tell
a
you
really
story.
Nice comment about my Reserve.
Did you? Well, that's something. So.
My Reserve, I gotta tell my little story. Hold on one second, real quick. Because my Reserve, I put in my Reserve peeking over paintings. That's all I put, was peeking over paintings. And someone wrote a really nice comment over it. I was like, well, how very sweet of you.
When I first came to AP, I didn't understand how the contest worked at all. And when I did comment on a couple of the rights, I ran across this one called Reserved. And I made a comment on it. It was Susan Allitt, I think it was.
Yes.
She was so kind. She goes, no, I'm waiting. Yeah, I felt so stupid. Almost left. I can't stay here.
Well, there you go.
I'm glad you did.
Now, it's exactly right. Now, I have to admit that this is a specific message for We Are All Gonzo. Now, your poem was on the board for today, but when I look at the studio and I've refreshed it and refreshed it and refreshed it again, I've gone and looked at everywhere I can try and find your piece, and it's not uploaded on to the audio clips, Gonzo. So the whole point of your productions is to play your productions, and it's not there. So we are going to hold that over to next week. So if you are waiting on to listen to your piece, which you should be, I would love to play it, but it's not loaded up for me, so I can't. So please keep listening, but I don't have the SoundCloud with me. Yes, Hatter.
Unless Deborah gets home in time, calls in, tells us where it's at.
Well, that's possible. But of course she's got storms up there and she's on the road and she's dropping kids off and all sorts of stuff. So I'm making no promises, Gonzo. I'm just letting you know that at the minute I can't find it in the audio clips, and I'm not going to put it up without all the wonderful stuff that you do to do voices and sound clips and production and everything else, because we miss the experience of it. So,
One other bit of news. Saturday, Saturday, we will be starting at 10 o'clock Eastern next week.
Change
an hour earlier.
Wow.
Hatter, do you remember the theme? Yeah. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but do you remember the theme for next week?
Clocks.
No, we're doing clocks this week. Do you remember the theme for next week?
What is it? I don't
know. Venom. V-E-N-O-M. Venom is the theme.
Venom.
That's the one. And it gives me a great excuse to play some. So there you go. We will play some M&M. Now, sweet. We have your poem up on the board.
Okay. My clock. My little clock. Okay. Well, I got to get out of where I'm at then. Because right now, I was reading you and Hatter.
Okay.
So.
Righto.
All right. So this is another face on his watch. She blushed at his 5 o'clock shadow, holding hands, tangerine sunset, kissed her into a sleeping beauty slumber. Storybook rhymes tick-tock through time, Humpty Dumpty broke, the Mad Hatter spoke, and Alice stayed drunk on strawberry wine. Eyes opened to kaleidoscope signs and rose-colored glasses, white picket fence smiles and cheeks stained in mascara lashes. Her truth burned in flames, blowing away in black ashes. He stopped admiring her, never looked twice. She sat at home wondering where he was at night. Days were long and nights lonely as she was lost in time. Years passed and he began to forget her between midnight and six. And with no one watching her face on his tick-tock time, so wind swept her up as he placed another face on his watch. And poem.
Damn, sweet. Were we rubbing off on Santa? This is very good.
I think you've done something wrong, Hatter. I think you've been placing other people's faces on watches. You've not been present or something.
Made it sad, man. You made it sad.
Well, you
she
do.
Sat
so
at home
you're
wondering.
She's allowed to. She's allowed
she to. She sat at home wondering where he was at night. Days were long and nights lonely, and she was lost in time. Wow. Years passed, and he began to forget her. Oh, between midnight and six. Wow.
So your fault, Adam.
Her face. Time. What is time? As it rushes by. As it rushes by us.
It's a very Hatter type write, isn't it?
It is.
I guess so. I never looked
yeah.
at it, but he must be rubbing off on me.
You must.
Now, you know, a few people realize that Humpty Dumpty was created by Lewis Carroll in the Alice Through the Looking Glass.
I do know that. But that's because you taught me that.
Uh-huh.
And there's a question on what the Humpty Dumpty is, what it pertains to. I read that it was the biggest cannon they had in one of the castles of King, and it could outreach anybody, any other cannons or something. I was told by Sky, I think it was, said that she read that it was the king, Humpty Dumpty.
Ah.
So.
Well, there you go.
One or the other.
Well.
Because the mission was to take out the cannon,
Yeah, they'll have to dump the Excel. All the king's horses and all the king's men can put them together again.
Sweet. There you go.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well,
Wait. Wow.
You know what it made? You know what this place made me think of? Sweet.
What? Yeah.
You'd hate
no.
But,
what?
But bear with me. When I was a youngster, we had these watches from Switzerland. They were called Swatches. And you could change the face.
Oh, the girl's watch. Yeah.
That you could change the face. And so if you didn't like one sort of one, you could sort of put another one on. And so I was sort of thinking about that when you sort of, the wind swept her up and put another face in his watch, you see. Because I sort of thought, well, that's a Swatch watch. That's what's going on here. But to one side. Putting that to one side, I have to say, I love the photo. And I love the start. She blushed in his 5 o'clock shadow. How cute's that?
Yeah.
Yeah? How cute's that? You could write a poem just about that line. I think it's really cool. And her truth burned in flames, blown away in black ashes. The truth burned in flames, blowing away in black ashes. I really like that line, Sweat. I really like that line. There's a number of I really like in this poem. I mean, obviously the last one is very neat because it made me think of Swatch Watches, but there's a number of really descriptive lines here, particularly, oh, and they're all through. Years passed and he began to forget her between midnight and six. It's sort of so by the way, so significant. And so it sort of reminded me a little of Hatter in style because he sort of says things that are significant but are sort of by the way. And they're always sad in their landing. And this was a sad poem, but beautifully written. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very good, sweet. No, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Yeah, this belongs on the front page. How do you do that?
How do you put things on the front page?
I don't know. Is there a place you go? Say here.
There is. You check this. You go to pending pics and you say, please, pretty please, pretty please, pretty please, put this poem on the front page.
I go to who?
Pending picks.
Oh, pending picks.
Pending.
Gotcha.
Pending picks.
Okay.
So there is place.
Gotta do it.
Now,
Gotta do it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Can I get you to read your Sitting in the Sunflowers poem while you're with us?
Yes, I would love to.
Because I actually think it's a tremendous. Hatter hasn't heard this, so I'd really like you to read it. I think it's a sensational poem.
Okay, I'm blown away. Thank you very much. Let me go grab it.
I've got it. I put it up already.
Oh, you put it up. I put it up already. Okay, not a problem. You are Johnny on the spot. Okay, all right. All right, you ready, Hatter? There's my Winter Park Get Out poem, Sitting in the Sunflowers. His withered hands rested on the steering wheel of his old four, abandoned in her sunflower garden, a place where she spoke to God and cursed at him, a place for afternoon tea and evening chin. The leather seats had faded into shades of old memories. As his hand sought her touch, his thoughts took for a girl with cinnamon hair and emerald eyes redefined life. Frat brothers gave warning, she, a professor's daughter. But he dared, barefoot picnic sunlight Brazil, bass fishing in Lake Osceola, while watching tangerine sunsets seek sweet magnolia kisses. The great blue heron, and the red woodpecker, headed woodpecker attended their wedding at the Palm House. After babies 1 and 2, each smiled when they walked along the bridges of the Oberlin Canal. They found him in the sunflower garden. He lived 368 days without her. They buried him next to her by the truck and their dog Shadow's grave by the waves of Lake Virginia. As promised, 64 years ago, end poem.
Damn. Showing off. You're showing off.
No, you're not showing off. Really cool poem.
Very well. Damn. Hold on. Okay. Freestyle storytelling from poetry.
Get
Winter Park. You know what? You're gonna win.
I doubt that.
She's gonna give a good.
I'm gonna give it a good try, but I really doubt it.
It's gonna have a really good, because it's a beautifully told story, Heather. Yeah, it's a beautifully told story. It talks about the past, and it talks about the environment around them, and but it just comes up with some beautiful pieces along the way, like the dog Shadow's grave. I thought she'd like that. And by the waves of Lake Virginia, promised 64 years ago. It's a wonderful way to finish the story. And it's just got beautiful details in it, and it's just a wonderful wonderful poem. Sweet.
Thank you. Yeah, it's got a lot of the lakes in. Yes, dear.
When you write, this is a perfect example of when they say there's no rules in free verse. Okay, there's no rules in free verse, but the better the better reads are ones with a cadence to it. You read this very well, and there was a mathematical equation to this on your cadence. It seemed to really flow, and you read it very, very, very well. And if you look at the structure of the lines, they're not far from you end in short lines. They buried him next to her by the truck, and their dog's shadow's grave by the waves of Lake Virginia he promised 64 years ago. Same as he smiled when they walked away along the bridges of the Oberlin Canal. It's hard to see in this one, but there is. This is you have to have that flow, however you get it. And that, and in saying that, there is a system to free verse, if I say that right.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
A cadence to free verse.
Yeah, I love the long run on sentence. For the whole stanza, the whole paragraph, just keep run on and on. I think that, and when I read it, usually those are the ones I like best. Now,
I think Sweet's got wonderful story, Heather. Now I'm gonna give you mine after that, because mine's just more about cadence and flow than it is. It's sort of about setting a scene. So you've got to refresh. Can you see it there?
Let me finish my comment. I got the winner, winner, chicken dinner. Okay.
Oh, go.
Great, right. Okay, running down the hall. You gotta get these rooms closer together. Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, Sweet Pea jumped to the head of the class. Okay, there you are. And AP Taylor, easy breezy. Okay.
Yeah, try this one. Okay. It goes a little bit like this. The sun strikes a familiar bird on a pond, skies flare turquoise to foe's croon. Meandering, one swan glides, a feel they paddle inside tune. The sweet slush of painted waters, they dance in sights distant a cloud's dew. Aquileias onto magenta, trumpets in flight through. Wings tucked in neatly beside her, woodwinds echo a regal perfume. Pond, the carnival gloss pattern, dazzles the surface upon bloom. Deft shape bends by delicate curve, head regal as if a harp in repose. Distantly fingers still glisten, eyes on track, ahead froze. Flutes of feathers taken their leave, sun glistens, left burn, rays release. Cello's strings thrill the ballet, delicate, this image of peace. End poem.
Classic A.P. Taylor.
Isn't it?
It is fairly,
quite beautiful. But I was reading that, and I didn't even see your comment, and I immediately thought the orchestra and the movement and all of that, I could just hear it all, and boom, I started writing, I look up, and you're like, well, listening to the music of Ballet Swan Lake, and I'm like, of course you was, because that's exactly how it was written, and it just felt that way. You could just feel it, the movement of it in the whole piece. I thought it was just so pretty and so majestic and so, just the woodwinds and you could just hear it, the flutes and the cellos and, you wrote it in that perfect painting way. Like a lot of painters listen to music. And so you can, I could just hear the painter listening to the music as he painted it, and then you listening to the music as he wrote the poem. So it was all just this choreographed kind of grand musical going on and on in both your heads is the way I saw it.
You just described Fantasia. Well, this is Fantasia.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah, I love the way it starts. Thanks. Sun strikes familiar bird from a pond. Beautiful painting, too.
It is, actually. I really like the painting. It is difficult because the suite will say, you don't get much time, between when the paintings are posted and when you have to have the poem done. And sort of look through all the pictures and you go, I just love that one. So... I just stopped when I saw one I really liked, and that was as hard as it got for me. I didn't really think too much about anything else, just that I liked the painting and I wanted to do it sort of justice, really.
Yeah, but you went all AP all over this. All over the
you went all AP?
quite possibly, yeah. Yes.
I like that. We all AP. Better than going all differently.
Oh, okay,
you know what? Exactly. You know what? Guys, I think we're in trouble.
Why is that?
I don't think Deborah.
Why?
I don't think Deborah allows the entries before it's judged until we have the show. Until we have the show of the entries. We're not supposed to do that.
That's not true. I read mine the other night on her show.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, you go.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you go. There you go. So, I think, Deb, I am confident, Hatter, that Deb is such that Deb will be ruthlessly looking at all of the poems incredibly fairly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they're divided up into is there three judges or four?
I think it's four.
There's three
four
and
judges.
Then a finding. I think the three of them look at it. It's like almost like the NBA playoffs. You get these judges, they pick so many, and then they go to these judges, and then it goes to a final judging, and then they all come back together. It's very complicated.
It is. It is very complicated. Very complicated. But
I didn't.
Great job. So anyway,
I didn't like judging. I liked the different. And I did it as honest as I possibly could, but there was a day I missed something that went, man, I have no business judging you.
No, it's not easy. Not easy. Not to be under, you know, done in terms of how difficult judging is. Anyway, we have a couple of poems that we have got put in.
Yes.
And I know that Frank has been listening, so we should put the one by Poetic Picasso up. So bear with me, Hatter, while I go to the studio and
well, see,
I grab
this is how we make sure he listens to the show.
Absolutely.
Is that what we're doing?
Gotcha, Frank.
He listens anyway, so.
He does.
I know.
Wonderful job.
Just giving him the business.
This is Frank.
Just giving him the business.
This is
giving
Frank.
The business. I like giving
and
him the business.
And the pit and the pendulum, and here it comes now.
Okay.
I was sick unto death with that long agony, and when they at length unbound me, and I was permitted to sit, I felt on my senses.
I'm just going to put that, I'm just going to put that up a bit, Adder, because it was just a little quiet, so I'm just going to start again, Frank.
Yeah, good, thanks.
I was sick unto death with that long agony, and when they at length unbound me, and I was permitted to sit, I felt that my senses were leaving me. The sentence, the dread sentence of death, was the last of distinct accentuation which reached my ears. Death had never escaped my thoughts before, but I never predicted its lingering hour of arrival. For it had always been a haunting nightmare that had eluded my comprehension. Its tenebrous appearance in disguise had lurked as an unwelcome shuttle within the perilous permission that had succumbed me to my condemnation. If you must know the cause of my confinement to these ancient walls, it's not my brash accountability nor my illicit patronage revoked. Instead, due to the fact of my noble lineage, an appellation bestowed, to which I was doomed, to the terrible pit and the pendulum of my despair, bound to the heavy manacles of a Stygian devil's dungeon of oppression, a miserable prisoner of the madness of the Spanish Inquisition unleashed, abandoned behind the rusty arch, to the chamber of horror of my fate, I hear the obstreperous echoes of the tortured voices of screaming souls. Soon, the medieval door opens and a stranger dressed in black led me to my death. But awaiting me is the carnifex of the sharp blade of the swaying pendulum, and I am struck to the solid marble table of the dripping blood amassed. So I stare at the pendulum, gradually lowering by the passing minute. Trepidation sends a deep and rapid chill, shivering down my fragile spine. My body begins to tense in a stiff, immovable rigidity of execution. I can hear the whistling motion of the silver blade reaching my ears. I can feel then the carnivorous blade piercing my skin and flesh. My eyes bulge and increase in fear. I listen closely to the blade. No! No!
Well, listen, the Spanish Inquisition, probably the most gruesome
My eyes bulge in increasing fear as I listen closely to the blade. No, no. The French army had entered Toledo. The Inquisition was in the hands of its enemies. Interpum.
Right-ho. Frank, brilliantly well done. Now, Hatter, I need to give you some background here. I need to give you some background because there was a short story written by Edgar Allan Poe called The Pit and the Pendulum. And it was from 1842, and it was about the torment endured by a prisoner in the Spanish Inquisition, and it was basically about a pendulum with a large, horrible bloody knife, instead of knives, that was coming towards this person that was tied up, and he thought that he was going to get killed until the very last minute when some hands pulled him away from this horrible thing. So there you go. That's the background to it. And certainly, you know, a great poem about time, Frank. So very, very well written. And I certainly appreciated every piece about, you know, that you put in there in terms of the historical accuracy and the sense of that piece of Poe coming through. So Hannah, would you like to make a few comments?
Yeah, I apologize first. I thought I didn't still running, butting in there. Yeah, the pit and the pendulum. What a way to go. I mean, every swing, it's lowered another half inch. And then to sit, to lie in wait for the blade to eventually cut you in half. Frank. It's just a full, just, you know, and back then, death was everywhere. People got desensitized to it. I mean, you have to in order to exist. You know, life expectancy was under 30, probably.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. And, yeah, so I thought it was a fantastic piece. Frank, Sweet, are you still with us? Did you want to make a comment about that one?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a great piece. I mean, dark and brooding and death and kid and torturous and perfectly done via Frank style. I mean, the imagery is downright out scary, and he did a fabulous job on it.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Frank. We enjoyed it. Thank you for sending us the SoundCloud. Now, Hatter, we've only got one poem to go, and it's Buddha with music. So we could actually go out with that. Because it's always good to go out with anything by Buddha. It'd be good to start with anything by Buddha. It'd be good to go out with anything by Buddha. That would leave us then to be able to finish up and to be able to say next week for everybody is Venom. V-E-N-O-M. Venom is the next week.
Can I say something about Venom?
Yeah.
Please, Sweet. Yeah. Please do.
Okay. So I got to tell you something. My 4-year-old grandson in this way tells me about Venom. Gigi.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. Venom eats people. That's all I got to tell you.
Okay. Noted. I will get my things about Venom next week because I've got a whole heap of lovely facts about Venom, Sweet, that you can only... Hatter, did you want to say some thank yous and stuff before we disappear to Buddha and his song setting?
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And thank you, Sweet, for calling in. Frank, for writing. Bill, about to listen to yours. Thank you. Who am I missing? Shoot, we only had a couple. See,
thank
pain
you,
meds. Frank and Deborah.
Yep.
Stephen.
Next time, Stephen, thank you for coming in. So, we will be back next week with Venom. Get square or get fair or whatever, or just get the poem on the paper. And we will see you in a week's time.
Are we leaving?
Thank you, Sweet.
All right, man.
Good night.
That up. We are
Thanks, Sweet.
Back in a week's time. Okay. Thanks, Hatter. Talk soon.
Thank you, Ricky. Yep.
Monday came too fast in the setting of the sun. You had your bags packed and run. Tuesday I cried all day, wondered where it had all gone. Time in loving you too long. So you ran astray and tried to make your way for tomorrow, for today. Ran away and tried to make a play for tomorrow, for today. Wednesday a drinking ride, woke up on Pacific time, thoughts and memories in my mind. Thursday, get out of bed, can't get you out of my head. A tragic story, better left unsaid. So you ran astray and tried to make your way for tomorrow, for today. You ran away and tried to make a play for tomorrow, for today. One thing you can't deny, love you saw in my eyes, in my tears, sweet darling, a silent sigh. Glowing like the midnight sun, dark takes light and overcomes. In my tears, sweet darling, a silent sigh. Monday came too fast in the setting of the sun. You had your bags packed and run. Tuesday I cried all day, wondered where it all gone. Time in loving you too long.
Brilliantly done. Thank you, Budo, for taking us out. Thank you to everybody for taking part in the show. Thank you to Sweet for helping us by calling in. Thanks to Stephen for calling in. And thanks to Frank for being with us on the board the whole way through, and Gonzo for calling in. And so thank you to everybody, and we'll be back next week with Venom. Bye, everybody.
Have a donut.
I would if you gave me one, Hatter, but I'm a compliment away. We'll see. No donuts left by the time we do Venom, let me just. Bye, everybody.
How you? Bye.